Have you ever stopped to think about how your smartphone can tell if it's in your pocket or your hand? It's not magic. Well, not exactly. It all comes down to some pretty amazing sensors and the algorithms that make sense of the data. Today, we're diving into a research paper by Kai Kunze and Paul Lukovich.
From the University of Passau.
Right. They are exploring how our devices can actually sense where they are on our bodies.
And crucially,
they're focusing on accelerometers.
Those little sensors in our phones that pick up on motion.
As we all start using more and more wearable technology, It's more important than ever to really grasp what these sensors can do.
And what it means for us as users.
Exactly.
So Kunze and Lukovich, in their research, wanted to see if they could use just the accelerometer data.
Just that.
To figure out where a device was on a person's body.
Which is interesting because, I mean, we're used to our phones tracking our steps.
Sure. Or even our sleep patterns.
But this is different, right?
This is about understanding how the tiniest shifts in movement. Yes, exactly. Could reveal concisely where that device is placed.
So how do they go about figuring that out?
Well, they designed an experiment with three participants of different ages, different professions. Each of them wore several motion sensors.
On how many locations?
Five different places. The wrist, head, torso.
Okay.
And both the front and back trouser pocket.
So covering quite a range of movements there.
Yes. And then the participants went about a series of everyday activities. Things you or I might do. Kitchen work, laundry, office tasks.
So not just in a lab setting then.
No. This was about capturing those natural movements, seeing how people move in the real world, not just in a controlled environment.
And that's where the real insight lies.
Yeah.
Right? Because we don't move robotically in our daily lives.
Precisely.
So they gathered all this data from these different activities. What do they do with it?
They analyzed it, looking for patterns, and they found six key features within those accelerometer readings, features that help them differentiate between movements, between the different parts of the body.
So it's like a fingerprint almost for each movement.
You could say that. These features include things such as the standard deviation of acceleration, the number of times the acceleration signal crosses zero, and the number of peaks in the movement.
Okay, I'm trying to visualize that. Can you give us an example? How would the data look different, say, between someone's swinging their arm while walking versus placing their phone in their back pocket?
Well, imagine when your arm swings freely, the accelerometer picks up a smooth, almost wave-like pattern.
Okay.
But when you place your phone in your pocket, that movement becomes much more restricted.
Right.
The accelerometer would detect that change. The data would show a more constrained pattern.
So subtle differences, but important differences.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And those variations
create
those distinct patterns that the researchers could use.
To pinpoint where that device was.
Precisely.
And to analyze all of that, they use something called a continuous hidden Markov model.
That's it. It's a statistical model, really good at analyzing data sequences. In this case, those movement patterns we've been talking about, recorded over a period of time.
So is it kind of like, it's piecing together clues.
Exactly. Each tiny movement becomes a clue. And the model uses those clues to deduce the location of the device.
It sounds incredibly complex.
It is, but also elegant. It takes into account the entire sequence of movements, not just isolated moments.
Which is important because our everyday lives are made up of this constant flow of motion. We don't just make one movement and then stop.
Exactly. And that's what makes this approach so powerful. It mirrors the reality of how we move in the world.
So after all of that, the big question, how accurate was it? Could it tell the difference between someone reaching for their coffee cup versus putting their phone in their back pocket?
With a 6-minute observation window, the model boasted an accuracy rate of 82%.
6 minutes. That does seem like quite a while for it to figure out where it is.
You have to remember, it's not a snapshot. It's 6 minutes of continuous data analysis. Think about how much we move around in 6 minutes, shifting positions, adjusting our posture, interacting with our environment.
It's true. We don't even realize how much we move in the space of even a few minutes.
It's unconstrained movement, complex. And even with that complexity, 82% is pretty significant.
That does put it into perspective. Were there any locations that proved trickier than others for the model to differentiate, like movements that were just too similar to tell apart?
You've hit upon one of their main challenges. The model really struggled when it came to the front and back trouser pockets.
That makes sense. I mean, if you think about it from the phone's point of view, tucked away in a pocket, the movements would feel pretty much the same, whether it's in the front or the back.
Precisely. It brings up an interesting question, though, doesn't it? How crucial is it to distinguish between those two locations in real-world applications?
Right. Does it really matter?
Does that level of granularity outweigh the added complexity? And let's be honest, the potential privacy concerns.
I mean, that brings up a bigger question for me, and I think for our listeners.
Yeah.
What are the implications of all of this? Why does it matter?
Well, I think this research gives us a peek into the future of technology.
Yeah.
Personalized technology. Our devices are on the verge of being able to recognize where they are on our bodies. And when that happens, when they can interpret our movements, our activities, the possibilities are
endless.
Pretty much.
Because this goes way beyond, as you said, tracking how many steps we've taken.
Oh, for sure. Imagine if your smartphone could tell you. If your gait changed. Maybe it's a sign of a health problem. Early warning system. Or think about applications that could adapt to what you're doing in the moment. Need information. It's there. Need a service. It's ready for you.
So it becomes this truly intuitive assistant, almost an extension of ourselves. But that brings up, I don't know, a little bit of apprehension, right? We already give our smartphones a lot of personal data, a lot. If they start tracking our every move, literally, doesn't that raise some red flags?
Definitely a valid concern. Data security and privacy, those are paramount. As we move into this new frontier of personalized tech, we have to be careful. We need those safeguards.
Because the potential for misuse is huge.
Absolutely. These are ethical considerations that we can't ignore. We can't just focus on the shiny new tech and forget about the consequences.
It's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yes.
So much potential for good. But we have to balance that with responsibility. Do the researchers address any of these challenges in their paper? I mean, were there limitations they came across?
They did acknowledge that their study, while promising, it was pretty small, limited number of participants, to really get a handle on all the variations, you know, different body types, cultural backgrounds, we'd need more research on a much larger scale.
Makes sense. So more data.
Exactly. And they primarily focused on the accelerometer data. But there are other sensors, gyroscopes, for example. Imagine what we could learn if we brought all of that data together.
And technology is always evolving. So what does the future hold? What's next for this kind of on-body sensing? What's coming down the pipeline?
The field of wearables, oh, it's exploding. We're talking smaller sensors, using less power, capturing even more detailed data, which opens up opportunities for things like continuous health monitoring, human-computer interaction, you know, even those personalized virtual reality experiences. It's all happening.
So we're on the brink of this future where our devices are seamlessly integrated into our lives. They'll be anticipating our needs, making our lives easier, more fulfilling. But as we've said, it all comes back to responsibility, making sure these advancements are developed and used ethically. It's incredible to think about, isn't it? This whole world of sensing our movements. It's both fascinating and a little, I don't know, unsettling.
It's a powerful technology. And yeah. With great power, as they say, comes great responsibility.
Right. So as we wrap up our deep dive today, what's the one big takeaway you want our listeners to walk away with? What's the headline?
I think it's this. We're moving into a world where our devices are becoming more and more adept at understanding our movements, even when we don't realize it. That opens up incredible opportunities. But it also means we have to be incredibly mindful of the ethical implications.
Can't just let the technology run wild.
Exactly. We have to make sure it's used responsibly for good.
Well said. That's a great note to end on. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive into wearable technology and activity recognition. The future is certainly full of surprises.
And challenges.
And challenges, absolutely. Until next time, everyone, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and maybe keep an eye on those sensors.